What you are about to hear is real.
Control on the car 40J, clear. 6:09 p.m. Motors 21 and 23. Traffic control, Washington and Sepulveda. Frequency clear, KMA 394.
Apply 6:01 in service. Starting mileage 12,321. 12321. Officers Perkins and Walters.
1-5-6. Mileage 12,321. Detective unit 5-6 in service on the night watch.
This is Don Reed, police recorder. Tonight you're riding in a detective unit just reporting for duty on the night watch. This is a black sedan. Radio buried in the glove compartment. Plain clothes. No identification of the police car. And while you're with us, remember, we have no way of knowing where we're going or what we're going to do. But there's one thing for sure. The two detectives up front, the people you'll meet, they're not actors. You see, this is it. This is real. This is Night Watch.
Night Watch, the actual on-the-scene report of your police force in action. There are no actors. There is no script. Every voice, every sound is authentic. The investigations are recorded as they actually occur. Night Watch, presented with the cooperation of the Police Department of Culver City, California, W.N. Hildebrand, Chief. And now we switch you to Detective Unit 5-6, on patrol somewhere in the field, and to the official police recorder, Don Reed.
Sure?
Yeah, they were right in between the two cars, but I can't see them now.
Let's bring around and take a look.
Here's the situation. A quick picture. We split up to go to dinner. This is the uniform car with Officer Relang driving. Sergeant Perkins is in Detective Unit 5-6, a block or two behind. And just a second ago, we got a quick look at a man and woman on the street in a fist fight. We're maneuvering our car now, waiting to get around to go back. Still can't see them. She had him pinned against the wall and swinging punches. Now we're around. Swinging around now. And into the curb. The couple have moved off the street and into a pickup truck just in front of us. Now that I have a better look, I remember the Perkins and I tangled with this couple a couple of weeks ago.
Do you mind stepping out of the car, sir?
A woman at the wheel. Man, tall, thin, uncoiling, rolling out on the street.
Go ahead and take me to jail if you want to. I haven't drove no car. That car don't belong to me, see?
You finished?
Yes, sir.
You see this line?
Yes, I see that
line. All right, I want you to walk it.
I don't have to walk that line.
I want you to walk it.
I say I don't have to walk that line. You know why? If you want to take me to jail, go ahead and take me to jail. I don't owe nobody nothing, see? See what I mean? I don't owe nobody nothing. So if you want to take me to jail, that's okay with me.
Are you going to walk this line, mister?
Why should I walk the line?
All right.
Suspect refuses to cooperate. Lang going back to our car to a radio for assistance. Well, stand by for trouble. Here comes the woman. Short, heavy, armed with an umbrella.
But he was in the car when you kind of got him out of the car and asked him to walk the white line. Now, that's the truth. That ain't just who you are, it's a yes. He was in the car when you come and drug him out and flashed the flashlight in his face. And I'm catching paying one $27 ticket, and I got another one right here in my pocket. You want to see it, but I just got it a few minutes ago.
When we came down the street.
Listen, when you came down the street and you drug him out of the car.
Honey, will you please hush?
No, I won't hush. I'm getting tired of this. Every time you turn around, there's a cop on the corner.
Honey,
well, I'll go back to Bellflower where I belong. Maybe I belong in the country or something, but you was in the car when he flashed the light on you.
Honey,
I'm not that drunk. I did have three beers.
Honey,
I'd walk any street line they want to walk.
Honey, I'm not driving no car.
I know you're not driving the car. And you was in your own profession when he went and stuck that light in your life.
Okay.
And your face. Well, I'm tired of this.
I know it.
I'm not getting the city up.
I paid the
$20.
Perkins and his partner heard our call on the radio.
I'm getting tired of
rolling up in 5-6.
Now, don't manhandle me, bud.
Then don't walk off when I'm trying to talk with you.
Well, all right, then. Talk to me in a nice tone of voice.
Keep your language.
All right, here, lift my arm. I got a right the same as you have, if you are a cop.
You have. I'm a police officer.
All right,
officer.
I don't give it your two-peat lease off.
Honey,
just a minute.
Please take your hands off of me.
I will if you
will
not.
All right, please take your hands off of me.
All right, now what is the trouble?
Honey,
we stopped there. We didn't even go in the joint. He was sitting in the car seat, and I was trying to get him to go home.
All right.
And whoever it was that was driving it for a patrol car or whatever it was, came and flashed the light on his face and asked him to get out.
That's perfectly normal procedure, isn't it?
That's
perfectly normal procedure. I think we've stopped you once before.
I beg your pardon. You've never stopped me before.
I think we have.
All right, where?
Right on Washington Boulevard. I think stop both of you.
No, no.
Oh, honey.
I've got a ticket right here tonight, yes.
How much have you had to drink tonight?
That's my business.
No, it's not your business.
Oh,
not
yes,
business.
I beg your pardon. It is my business.
How much have you had to drink tonight?
How do I know?
Honey, will you please?
I can walk a straight line as you can.
Well, let's see you walk this line down.
Okay, I can sure do it.
Now, if you'll come back here, please, and walk it the way I want you to walk it. Place your heel and your toe together.
Toe to toe.
You've done it before?
No, I haven't
did
it before.
Well, then do it this way. Place your heel and toe together right down the line. You're not placing your heel and toe together. Look, like this. Put your heel and your toe together, right like that. Each time. See? Right like that. Put them together each time.
Uh-oh. Can't do it.
Try a minute, lady.
Huh?
Try a minute. Do you remember when I stopped you once before? You remember that lady?
Yeah, right over there.
Right over there. What did I tell you at that time? I let you go that time, didn't I? You both had been drinking?
Mm-hmm.
You recall that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I told you that if I ever caught you in a similar position again, that I wouldn't be able to give you that break? Mm-hmm. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think both of you better go in the station with us, then.
Okay.
You want to watch him, Jim, for a minute? Ray, can I see you?
Yeah.
Jim will ride in with you. When you get in, you better book him plain drunk.
Okay, Ron. Ready, Don?
Yeah.
Let's go.
Hey, Reed.
Huh?
Thanks for lousing up my dinner.
Oh, don't mention it, Ray. Anytime at all.
A 5-6 to 1 on that 214 call. The 5-4 has a couple of 447s in custody, and they're en route to the station. We're clear. And requesting 7 at the New China Cafe. It's 5500 Washington Boulevard.
Control 1-5-6, cancel code 7, and take this call. Meet car 5-3 at 2938 Burnsford, 2938 Burnsford. Citizen holding a prowler.
5-6, roger.
Reed, I think you're beginning to be a jinx. First you louse up Ray's dinner, and there goes ours.
Gee, I'm sorry, folks. Tell you what, tomorrow I'll bring a box lunch.
You are listening to Night Watch and following the activities of Detective Unit 5-6 on its tour of duty. Remember, the people and sounds you are hearing are real, and the investigations are recorded in the field as they actually occur. We'll bring you the final results of tonight's action at the conclusion of Night Watch. And now we switch you back to Detective Unit 5-6, somewhere in the field, and to the official police recorder, Don Reed.
Quiet neighborhood. Two uniformed cars parked in the driveway. On the porch, an officer has a suspect handcuffed. His partner, Johnny Moss, coming over to meet us.
What's the deal, Johnny?
That's kind of confusing, Sergeant. This fellow apparently has been peeking in the woman's window here, and her boyfriend heard a noise and came out and chased him into the backyard. And there was sort of a hassle there for a few moments.
Did you check his ID?
Well, that's another thing, Sergeant. He just lives down the street a couple of doors here.
Okay, we'll check him out.
Park, do you recognize the suspect?
No, I don't think so. Why, do you know him?
Yeah, I know him. Suspect, mild, middle-aged, nervous.
You been drinking tonight?
Well, a little, not much.
What were you doing in the yard?
Well, I mean, you hear noises and stuff. I mean, you come out to investigate. I mean, you come out
somebody
to
else's yard. Yard to doing?
Well, you go anywhere. I mean, to look.
Why don't you call the police?
Why didn't you call the police, Paul? I mean, you don't think of that right away.
I think it's a very dangerous situation. I don't think you're taking a terrific chance of getting shot.
I'm going to hold him here, Johnny. We're going to talk to the people now.
Well, I suppose it was bound to happen. But this is the first time in several years of police work that we've encountered a suspect that I was personally acquainted with. Well, moving into the house. Young woman, visibly shaken. Male companion, tall, husky. And he's guiding us out to the back patio.
The gate right here.
Was that gate closed?
The gate was closed. The boy hit the gate. Going out.
And you were inside on the couch,
right? Right.
And when you got up, what happened when you got up to come over here? I mean, did you see him? Where was he standing? Was he right here?
Oh, I threw open the door, and he was right about here. He was moving. You know, when I threw open the door, he was traveling.
And how far did you have to chase him?
I had to chase him out the gate. And as he went around the gate there, he slipped. He was getting up as I was coming on.
Jumped on top of him? Then?
Yeah. I got a shirt tore.
Beforehand, I mean, he never made indication to identify himself to you.
No, he was strictly cutting out.
And at the time that you came out, did you have any idea who it was?
No, I had no idea.
Have you ever had any trouble like this before? I mean, anybody heard any noises or anything?
Here?
Yeah.
Well, maybe I didn't tell you guys.
No, you didn't. I mean, you talked to me.
Yeah. What the deal was, two nights ago, I had my wallet laying on the coffee table in here and my jacket. And they were taken out of there. About a matter of 10 minutes' time, I guess. And I didn't report it or nothing. I had no money in my wallet, mm-hmm. just my papers. And I didn't figure it'd really do any good.
Mm-hmm.
So I just went down and got some papers. But that was the deal why tonight. Even then, I thought maybe it was hearing things, but I knew somebody had been in the house. And I mean, she's all shook up because she's here along with the two kids.
Well, when your wallet was taken, was this door unlocked, or do you have any idea how they got in to get it in?
Well, I think I did. I checked the back door, and it was opened up. I mean, she's never had any trouble here before. She always leaves her doors open, I guess. You know, they're locked. Since then, she's been keeping them locked, see?
Well, this may be the answer to that problem, don't you?
Yeah. I wonder if you find my wallet out of the deal.
Moving back into the house. Pretty well established. This man committed an act of prowling. Possibly may be connected with a burglary. Knowing his background, he doesn't need money. Good reputation as a businessman. Now, the question is why? Why did he pick this house? Was he here two nights ago? Did he take the jacket? Well, there's a motive somewhere. See if we can find some answers.
Much simpler, much easier. It's much easier to find out about it now because it's going to save you a lot of embarrassment and a lot of trouble. We know what the story is and what the situation is.
I'm well for it.
Don't walk away when I'm talking to you.
I'm not trying to walk away, Paul.
Now, how about this? This man has a wallet missing from here.
No, sir, I haven't got it.
You ever been in the house two nights ago?
No, I never have.
Where were you two nights ago?
Two nights ago, I was at work.
You were at work?
Yeah. I just got off work tonight. Mm-hmm. Just come home.
You have to take him in.
Placing the suspect in the back of a radio car, they all transport him to the station. We'll question him there when we have more of a chance to concentrate. At the same time, give him a chance to sort of settle his nerves. Well, it's just my personal opinion, but I feel we're not dealing with a criminal. Yet he's committed a criminal act. Now let's get back in the house again. Young woman. Nervous. Cigarette. Blonde. Attractive.
I think that's probably the answer to your problems down here as far as hearing noises and prowling, because he does admit being around several times in the past.
Eric, he's deaf because I'm here alone all the time.
You have a phone here, do you?
Yes.
Well, don't ever hesitate to call us. I mean,
well,
if you hear any noise at all, I mean, even if you're not sure that it's mm-hmm. anything, why, mm-hmm. Just go to the phone and don't let anybody know that you're calling. Just call the police department. Ask you out there at the police department. We'll send a car down and check it out. I'm happy to go. Right.
Night.
What are you so quiet about?
No, there's an interesting angle to this case. I've seen that suspect there on the street a time or two with his wife.
So? Well, just that...
I get all my gear in here.
Here we are.
It's just that his wife is a dead ringer for that victim there. Young, blonde, pretty.
No.
I have a feeling it's going to put a different angle on this case.
Now, when we get to the station, see what we find out.
Okay. This is the detective bureau. Suspect being brought in. Glancing at the barred window. Deep breath. Almost as if he can't believe this is happening. The key questions. Why did he single out that house to prowl? Did he take that jacket two nights ago? If he did, why?
How old are you?
I believe, going on 44.
And you married?
Yeah.
Any children?
Yes, three.
Three. Well, tell me what happened tonight.
Well, I mean, I guess you know the story.
Well, what's down?
It's just, I don't know. Telling you, when my wife is gone, I mean, I just can't take it.
Is your wife away now?
Yeah.
She's going to be gone long, or?
Yeah, she's going to be gone 6 months.
Is there a reason? I mean, are you separating or anything like that?
No. I mean, she can't stand the climate. She's got bad sinus, and she's had quite a few operations, and she forms an allergy to the sinus, and she just can't stand it here, and it's just one of those circumstances. I wish she didn't have to go, but I mean, she's got to. I mean, that's all there is to it.
There is something that has come about on this deal. There's this missing wallet from this fellow had in the house from two nights ago.
No.
And if you did take the wallet, we want to know about it.
I found a coat. There was a coat out in our patio. I don't know where it is, but I mean, there was a coat out there in our patio.
Here's
I don't know.
Here's the thing. He's,
I don't even remember what color it is or anything.
This fellow lost his coat and his wallet, which was inside the house. Somebody went in that
house. I've never been in that house, fella.
Suspect. Glancing away. Can't look the sergeant in the eye. Sounds convincing, but his physical reaction doesn't match.
This house 2 nights ago, and you've been drinking, didn't realize it?
No, I mean, I don't drink. I mean, this is the first night I've had a few.
Well, you were there at your house 2 nights ago, weren't you?
Yes, I was.
Well, doesn't that seem strange to you? I mean, that the coat would just automatically turn up in your patio?
Look, listen, please. I mean, I'm telling you the truth. I never was in that house, so help me. I mean, that's not my makeup.
When did you find the coat there? 2 nights ago?
No, it was last night.
Last night?
When I come home.
How many times have you gone around to that house there?
This is the second time.
Second time?
Second time, yes.
Well, we've had quite a few prowler calls in that area down there.
That's the only place I've ever been. I mean, it's there.
Well, right now you're booked on a charge of burglary. Suspicion of burglary.
Oh, no.
And between now and Monday, when the detectives will talk to the district attorney, is going to make the difference as to what the district attorney goes. In other words, whatever information that we can furnish him about the problem that you have is going to help you.
Mm-hmm. Suspect, up out of the chair.
Try to relax a little bit.
I can't. That's why I've got those nerves filling out there, because I can't realize either way.
Beginning to crack under the strain. Head down on the desk.
I can't sleep at night. They won't give you any more sleeping pills.
I want you to tell me the truth. I don't want you to lie. I want you to tell me just how the coat came into your possession. I don't want any lies. I want the truth.
Suspect, relaxing, staring at the desk.
God.
Look of relief.
Why don't you tell us about it? Start at the beginning of what happened that night.
just come home and... lights were on there. And I just went there, picked the coat up, and... I don't know why.
At the night when you went there, did you go to the front window first or the back window? Or?
No, I went to the back.
And when you looked in, were they sitting on the couch or what?
No.
How long were you there?
About 10, 15 minutes.
When did you get the urge to pick up the coat?
I don't know why. I mean, why does somebody do some cool thing like that? I mean, I just can't understand it.
Well, we don't feel that you're a thief, but we want some explanation for why. Do you think it's an uncontrollable urge?
No, because I've never had that before. I mean, I don't know. That's what I said. I wish I knew.
Do you feel then you need some sort of treatment?
I don't know. I wish I could explain. I wish I knew, because I don't like it.
What I want to do now, I'm going to type up a brief statement and let you read it over, and we'd like to have you sign it. Heard if you want to go ahead and talk to him, I'll do another room and type this up.
Okay.
I'll be back in a minute.
Yeah.
He admits taking the jacket. The question is why. He didn't need it. Unless in his haste he thought it was the woman's and wanted to possess something of hers. Well, further interrogation may bring it out.
How do you and your wife get along?
And your wife
at home? Get along very good?
Yes. Yeah.
How long have you been married?
Oh, about 7.5, 8 years.
Well, when you went there tonight, did you go with the intention of looking in the window?
No, I was just drawn by the light, and I mean, went. I mean, I think why it is because she's a blonde and my wife's a blonde, and I don't know. I think it just... I don't know.
Do you picture your wife when you look at her? Would that be the feeling you get?
I guess more or less.
When you took this coat, did you have a feeling that perhaps the coat belonged to her and you wanted to have something that... was her very own?
It could have been it. I mean, I didn't think much about it.
You know, we seem to be making maybe what you think is a big issue out.
No, I know.
It seems to be a powder case, but our thought is this.
I know.
A lot of times
for future.
A lot of times it may happen, and in this case, where this man ran out of the house to apprehend you, you may have been frightened, and frightened very bad. And you may have resisted an attempt to get away, and he may have tried to overcome that force.
No, that's
and
right.
As a result, you may have killed him. A situation like that would be second-degree murder.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'd be sorry for it.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to prevent that.
That's right. I can understand that.
Yeah. Would you this over here and leave it over and if there's any changes or corrections you want to make, if I've made any mistakes on it, why you come to our attention, we'll change it.
Is that really all right?
Yes,
my God.
You're fine.
While he's looking over the statement, we have a fairly clear picture. The suspect will have to be held on a technical charge of burglary. Yet in reality, he isn't a burglar. He's meek, mild, but potentially he's capable of committing bodily harm to a victim. What makes it really dangerous is he doesn't even know.
Does that relate the facts as they after him?
Mm-hmm.
You sign right. Put the date in right, if you will, and sign on his body.
Why? Mm-hmm. Signature to confession.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll take you back to the cell now, and don't worry about it. It's something we just have to say.
Yes, I know.
I think you feel better.
Don't worry about it.
Can't help being sorry for that fellow.
Yeah, but actually, we're doing him a favor.
I guess you're right.
What you have just heard is real. This investigation was recorded as it actually occurred. And now, back to police headquarters and Chief W.N. Hildebrand.
Tonight's first investigation of the intoxicated couple resulted in their arrest for plain drunk. Just a special note, this case was highly censored because of the profane language directed at the officers. The final case of the man prowling is unusual, even in police work. So that we may understand and recognize the symptoms, let's review this investigation. The suspect admitted prowling around this particular house because the woman occupant bore a striking resemblance to his wife. He also admitted stealing a jacket belonging to the victim because of his fixation. The thing that impressed both the officers and the court was this man needed help far more than punishment. As a result, he was sent to a hospital for psychiatric treatment. Potentially, this man was dangerous, although he would be the last to recognize this fact. Not that in his mind he would ever harm anyone, but should he become trapped when prowling, panic and fear of being caught could drive him to violence, which might result in homicide. As you ride in Detective Unit 5-6 each week, we hope you will derive more than just entertainment. We hope you'll develop a better understanding of human problems. If so, then we have a meaning for Night Watch.
Thank you, Chief Hildebrand. You have been following the on-the-scene reports of your police force in action. Every voice, every sound has been real. Night Watch, brought to you through the cooperation of the Police Department of Culver City, California, is produced by Sterling Tracy and Jim Headlock, with technical advice by Sergeant Ron Perkins, and described in the field by the official police recorder, Don Reed.